You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. This episode is brought to you by Spotify Green Room. Download the app and join us this week on Thursday, right after the series finale between the Dodgers and the Cardinals, to get in on the action. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, along with Vince Semperio of Chavez Ravine Fiends. Vince, how you doing today?
Jeff, I'm doing well. Dodgers won. The offense played well, and it was all-around good day other than the Rockies just no-showing again.
Yeah, you know, all this talk about the Rockies are a different team at home than on the road, like, I think the Rockies just suck, you know? And I understand the Giants are good, but at least put up a fight, man. So it's all right. The Giants have 10 games with the Padres this month. Basically half of each of their remaining games are against each other. And the Padres are still fighting for something. So hopefully they can come through where the Rockies haven't. But, you know, Dodgers are taking care of their side of business. We're going to talk about the Dodgers 7-2 win over the Cardinals, some of the offensive performances there. We're going to talk about Albert Pujols, his possible comeback next year, either with the Dodgers or someone else. We're going to talk about Clayton Kershaw's rehab start. We're going to talk about the Dodgers using 9 pitchers to throw 9 innings and, you know, probably some other stuff. So that's the plan. But first, we want to remind you, please subscribe or follow Locked On Dodgers wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right. I guess let's start with kind of the news of the day. Clayton Kershaw pitched his rehab start for Oklahoma City. He went 3 innings, allowed a base runner in each inning, allowed a 2-run homer in the second inning. You know, he didn't seem overly impressed with his outing, but I saw some video highlights and his stuff looked pretty good. I don't know if we got radar gun readings for where his fastball was, but his curveball and slider both looked really, really good. And really what we were looking for from Kershaw, I think, was health more than anything, right?
That's the biggest thing is the health. As long as his arm didn't fall off, his elbow didn't come apart, and he feels good tomorrow, that's the biggest thing. We know Kershaw and his stuff, and, you know, it plays well. He gave up a single and a home run for the 2 runs. It had 3 strikeouts. So as long as he's healthy, that's the biggest part. Dave Roberts said you can pencil him into the rotation as long as he comes out healthy from this and from a bullpen later in the week. So, like I said, as long as his arm didn't fall off, I could really care less about results. The fact is, he went out there, he threw, and he had a couple of strikeouts, and the slider looked kind of good.
Yeah, so, you know, that's definitely good news. The Dodgers, you know, even if Kershaw was just a warm body, it would be exciting news that the Dodgers might be getting him. The fact that he has potential to be so much more than just a warm body makes it even better. But the reason the Dodgers are looking for warm bodies is because they, on Tuesday, had a bullpen game. They used 9 different pitchers to throw 9 innings. And on Wednesday, they have, you know, not quite a true bullpen game, but they have Mitch White starting. And Mitch White, I think they're expecting anywhere between 2 and 8 innings from him, you know, and so it could be a bullpen game. He could surprise. He could, you know, he had that one really good appearance against the Pirates, I think it was. But you can't necessarily count on him to give you a full-length start. And so it seemed like their approach on Tuesday was, all right, let's not burn anybody so much that they can't come back tomorrow. So I think most of their guys who pitched on Tuesday will be available or available-ish at least on Wednesday again. But obviously they're going to be hoping for at least some length for Mitch White after 9 pitchers today.
They can hope that Mitch White can give him some length. He didn't quite give him the length they maybe would have wanted last time, but he did give it the time before. Cardinals aren't world beaters on offense. They have a pretty solid middle of the lineup, but other than that, there's not too much to really be worried about. So hopefully he can get through. Yeah, in terms of the guys yesterday, I mean, Evan Phillips threw 39 pitches, but I think everyone else was under 20, if I'm not mistaken. So
yeah,
they could theoretically all go again. The Dodgers offense was able to tack on a couple runs there in the ninth and save Kenley Jansen. So Neftali Feliz, his arm is probably really fresh, so you can go ahead and throw him again if you need him. And everyone else, you know, Bickford's going to be out there every day. Vesey's going to be out there all the time. He only threw to one batter. So they have enough guys, and it's just, you know, Mitch White is just imperative that he can get at least four innings, hopefully five, six, seven, but knock some of that out and get the Dodgers into a good spot with their bullpen. The thing is that, you know, Max Scherzer saved them on Monday, so they're fairly rested going into the Tuesday game, which is maybe why Dave Roberts decided to hold Mitch White. Or, yeah, he was supposed to throw the bulk innings, and then they ended up saying last-minute decision, they decided to go with him Wednesday. Maybe that was because Scherzer went eight the other day and they did have a full rested bullpen. They said, okay, let's throw him on now, and we're hopefully going to get some length out of Mitch White on Wednesday, and we don't have to use all the arms again. And then they have Julio on Thursday, who theoretically should give him at least six. So hopefully that's the way it all goes, but as we've seen with the Dodgers, who knows?
Yeah, White had thrown on Friday, so like I almost feel like Roberts might have just misspoke when he said Tuesday, because it would have been short rest. And so it seems like the decision came down to, well, we want to get roughly a start's worth of innings from Mitch White, and so we need him on regular rest. But yeah, if you look at the pitch counts, like you said, I'll just read them off. Corey Knebel threw 15, Evan Phillips threw 39, Facia threw 3, Shane Green threw 11, Phil Bickford 17, Gratterall 8, Joseph Kelly 11, but that was his second straight day. So figure Phillips and Kelly are probably unavailable on Wednesday. And then Trinan through 19 and Feliz through 14. So relatively well rested going into the bullpen game. But like you said, hopefully they can get some length from Mitch White, and hopefully the offense can show up again, because that helps with the bullpen too, because it lets you go a little bit longer with, you know, your some of your lesser relievers, not so much the high leverage guys, so that you have them available for Thursday. Obviously, all those decisions are easier when you have a big lead. So be nice if the offense could show up again like they did today. We're going to talk in a minute about that offense. You know, four home runs and really some bad luck too. So it could have been even more. And so hopefully the Dodgers can keep that going. So anything else you want to say about the pitching before we take a break and head to the offense, Vince?
No, I got nothing.
All right, yeah, so we'll be back in a sec to talk about the offense and how it was good and it could have been even better, so keep it locked on Dodgers. This episode is brought to you by Green Room. Green Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. The app is free to download, and once you're in, you can talk with us, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time about your favorite teams and sports. We are hosting rooms for Locked On Dodgers every week, so you can join in on the conversation that you listen to here every day. A lot of you guys are really loyal in there in the green rooms with us, and we appreciate seeing you every week. This week, as is basically the custom these days, we're going to be doing it on Thursday. We've got a day game on Thursday, starts at 10 a.m. Pacific time, so it should be over around 1 or 1:30 p.m. Pacific time, and then we'll go live on Green Room shortly after that. So all you got to do right now is go download the free Green Room app right now, currently available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link your Twitter, join the MLB group for the latest league updates, and follow me at Snydog so that you'll be notified when our room goes live, because we know you won't want to miss it. Like I said, Thursday, right after the Dodgers-Cardinals series finale. We can't wait to hear all your thoughts on the Dodgers. We'll see you there. Green Room, changing the way we talk sports. Did you know 85% of people who play daily fantasy sports lose? Is it really that surprising? The game is rigged against you. You're playing against thousands of other lineups, not to mention experts who have more tools and more time. You don't stand a chance. Introducing Stat Hero. It's the first ever daily fantasy sports book that puts the player in control and winning within reach. Here's how it works. Stat Hero shows you their lineups and dares you to beat them. It's you versus the house in a head-to-head fantasy matchup. You name the stakes, winner take all. You have the advantage. Stat Hero is showing you their lineups ahead of time. No one else does that. You're in total control. Stat Hero is DFS the way it was meant to be, one-on-one. Play Stat Hero now and change the odds. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, sign up free, and right now you can get 3x back on your first play. They're giving you a 300% match. That's unheard of. Go to stathero.com/lockedon, stathero.com/lockedon. All right, Vince, so the Dodgers had a good offensive performance, put up 7 runs, had 4 home runs. You know, we're going to talk a little bit in our last segment about Albert Pujols' home run, but they got one from Will Smith. They got 2 from Justin Turner. And, you know, a lot to talk about offensively. First, I want to mention Will Smith. He had a home run and three infield singles. And I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know of any way to actually look it up, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's the first player ever to have a home run and three infield singles in the same game. And I'd be shocked if he's not the first catcher ever to do that. You know, but even his infield singles, he earned those things. You know, the one up the middle was well hit. He hustled, he ran hard. You know, it was infield singles are sometimes fluky, but a good solid game for Will Smith, and it was nice to see him turn on another high fastball. I don't understand why any right-handed pitcher would throw Will Smith a high fastball.
Yeah, it's good for Smith. He's up to, I think, 23 home runs on the season, 13 since the All-Star break. Dave Roberts had praise for him, calling him a top three catcher in the game, and top three is maybe a little generously. He definitely can probably be one or two, depending on how you look at things, and maybe even one if you look at the entire body of work this season. And he's kind of been one of the constants in the Dodgers lineup this second half. Him, Trey Turner, and now Corey Seager, they've kind of been the three guys that have been chugging along here. It's been good, obviously, for them to have that. But to see Justin Turner get two home runs, he hadn't homered in, I think, like 20 games. He's been struggling on offense for the last two or three weeks, maybe even longer. And even when you look at it, it was off Jay Happ, who's a soft-tossing lefty, and then he hit a breaking ball off another lefty later in the game. But at this point, it doesn't really matter because he hasn't really been hitting against anyone. So hopefully that gets his confidence going. The Dodgers really need him, Muncy, and Taylor, at least one or two of the three, to really step up in order for them to get this offense going in the month of September. And to see Turner be the one to kind of do it and hopefully he can get that rolling is exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. He had the two home runs, and actually his hardest hit ball of the day was an out, 105.8 miles an hour off the bat, a line out with an expected batting average of 590. The Dodgers had five batted balls with an expected batting average of 590 or higher that turned into outs. There was that line out by JT. You had Pujols, line out with a 720 expected batting average. Trey Turner, a fly out with a 750 expected batting average. Bellinger, a line out with an 850 expected batting average. And CT3, a line out with a 900 expected batting average, plus two others in the 400 range. Mookie and Seager had flyouts at 470 and 410 expected batting average. You know, overall, there were 19 hard hit balls in the game, and 13 of them were by the Dodgers. And of the 13 balls hit over 100 miles an hour, 9 of them were by the Dodgers. And some of those turned into outs. And so as good as the offense was, you can make a pretty solid case that they had bad luck on balls in play in that game, which really does bode well. You know, seeing JT hitting the ball hard every time up, it is a huge sign. Just, you know, him batting in the middle of that lineup and, you know, kind of being the catalyst, being the team leader, getting him going will be awesome. Chris Taylor, again, you know, after he had the home run the day before, he had one of those hard hit balls that turn into an out. And so, you know, nice to see bats hitting balls a lot more often. The Dodgers as a team only struck out 8 times, which is pretty good for them, you know, these days. And so all in all, a really good game for the offense.
Encouraging for sure, putting up runs throughout the game, which is something we talked about yesterday. That's the sign of the offense starting to click, starting to work. And like I said, not guys that hadn't contributed recently with Turner, guys who are going to get more chances there with Pujols hitting the home run. So, and Steven Souza coming back and being his first game since coming back from the minor leagues, hits a double that ties the game early in the game. That's all they really need is competitive at bats, and especially from a guy like Souza, who's going to get time there in the outfield to kind of platoon with Bellinger. It seems like the case is going to be him facing against left-handers and Bellinger facing against right-handers, with Taylor moving to center in those cases. So if they can get some things out of him and some things out of these other guys, like I said, that's what helps out Cody Bellinger the most, is everyone else doing well, scoring 5-6 runs a game, and then kind of removing the pressure from him and removing some of the, you know, people's negative feelings and thoughts about him as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And that inning when the Dodgers took the lead for good in the top of the fourth, I think, when they went from down 2-1 to up 3-2, those two runs were driven in, like you said, by an RBI double by Steven Souza and then an RBI groundout by Cody Bellinger. And you could say, oh, well, it's just an RBI groundout. Well, how many times has Cody Bellinger come up in a situation where a ground out would have done something really good for the team, and instead he either popped up or struck out. And so Cody Bellinger having an RBI ground out there, like I said, he had another line drive. It wasn't hit hard, but it should have been a hit, but it was caught. And, you know, he batted four times and he didn't strike out. You know, it's these small things. Maybe that's a good sign for, and that's against a left-handed starting pitcher. Obviously Jay Happ doesn't throw hard. And so, you know, I've said before, I think for Bellinger, it's more an issue of type of pitcher than what arm the guy throws with. But tomorrow or today, when you're listening to this, Dodgers are going up against Adam Wainwright, right? And, Adam Wainwright doesn't throw hard. And so it's going to be really interesting to see what the offense does against Wainwright, because he's having a very good year for an old man, but he doesn't throw hard anymore. He's always had a great curveball, and that's a big deal. But I think Wainwright is one of those guys who is more crafty than powerful these days. And so if the Dodgers can lay off the curve, you know, not swing at pitches outside the zone, I think they can make it a long day for Wainwright. And I feel like these last two games have been a good starting point to put them in a good place to hopefully do something against Wainwright. And like we said, help the bullpen and Mitch White out.
With Wainwright, it's going to be one of those, you know, where you can kind of tell where the offense is going, because the Dodgers have fared well against some of the top pitchers this season that they faced, but that hasn't really happened here in the last two or three weeks. They haven't really faced any bona fide starting pitchers in the struggles. They missed Webb and Gausman this past weekend, but DeSclafani was able to shut him down, even though he had been struggling. So it's a matter of if their offense just has to get into how they've, you know, how they handled things before, taking away a pitcher's best pitch, making him throw the pitches that they want to throw, which is usually fastballs, and not missing the fastballs. I think they've been in a combination of swinging out a lot of pitches, especially guys like Max Muncy, Chris Taylor. I feel like if you looked at their chase percentage, it's probably higher in the last few weeks than it had been the rest of the season. And then a lot of the fastballs that they're missing, either swinging and missing or just fouling off. And we saw just the other day with Mookie, obviously it was a bad call by the umpire for strike three, but he just fouled off a fastball right down the middle from Jake McGee and then goes down looking on a pitch that shouldn't have been a strike anyways. But, you know, it's a matter of if he just could have hit that one fastball, that they would have been a lot better off. So for the Dodgers offense, imperative for them to go back to that, taking away the pitcher's best pitch, you know, which Wainwright probably is curveball, which is his best pitch. And he does throw for strikes a lot. So it's a matter of how they want to attack it. The offense is that's what they need to do. They need to go back to doing that, because I feel like when they've struggled recently, they've let a lot of guys get deep into games, which earlier in the year, hardly anyone went past five innings against them.
Yep, absolutely. So hopefully we'll see more of that on Wednesday's game. We're going to come back in just a minute. We're going to talk about Albert Pujols, his performance in St. Louis, and kind of what his future might hold. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar, as you know, is the best tasting protein bar in the world. They've got 9 or 10 different flavors that are all delicious. And the best part is they're really good for you. It's if you like to eat things that taste good and don't make you feel guilty, Built Bar is what you need. They have, you could buy a mixed box, so they'll give you two of each of their flavors in one box, and that way you can try them all out if you haven't tried them, and you can pick your favorites. So there's going to be some you love and some you think, okay, I don't need to eat that one again, but there's going to be something for everybody, because there's so many different flavors, so many different flavor profiles, that you're going to find something you love. And like I said, they're all healthy. They all have 17 or 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 or 5 grams of sugar and net carbs. You know, just all amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. My favorite is a grasshopper cookie. It's so good. It's like eating Thin Mints without the guilt. And if you go to built.com, you can promo code LOCKED15 and you'll get 15% off your order. And that's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. All right, Vince. So Albert Pujols came up in the top of the first inning. Dave Roberts penciled him into the third spot in the lineup with Mookie having the day off. That spot was open, and that's where Pujols had batted as a Cardinal. And so Roberts liked the symbolism of putting Pujols in that spot. There was a little bit of consternation on Dodgers Twitter about that. But Pujols kind of put that to bed when he homered in his first at bat. I felt a little bad because he got a good ovation from the Cardinals fans, but the crowd had not yet filled out when Pujols came up for the first time. And so I felt like he didn't get as good an ovation as he probably deserved. You know, Yadier Molina did the, you know, what you expect him to do. He went out, took a walk around in front of the plate to give the crowd a chance to appreciate Albert. And, you know, it was nice, but, those darn Cardinals fans always showing up late and leaving early. You know, it was a bummer. They couldn't give Albert a little bit better tribute than that he deserved.
Yeah, the best fans in baseball couldn't get off early from work and go give him the love that he deserved. He got it a little bit better in the second at bat at least. But it's kind of interesting how many times ever has there been players that go back and you know, there's a lot of times players go back and get standing ovations where they, you know, even Jock got one this past season. I'm sure Kike would have got one if he came back. But when Jock homered against the Dodgers, there wasn't a lot of people cheering for him. And the Dodgers now have had two cases in the last few years of a player going back to where he was beloved, hitting a home run and getting cheers from those teams. Obviously, those teams, the Cardinals are kind of in the playoff race. I don't think the Phillies were when Chase Utley did it back that one year. But it's just funny to kind of see that. And, yeah, it's good for Pujols. He regardless of everything else, against left-handed pitching, his numbers are deservedly to be up where he's at in the lineup. It's just a matter of if that starting pitcher doesn't go too deep, then you're kind of stuck with Pujols in that spot. But that's not something you're really counting on. Obviously, you want that to happen with your offense, but it's not something you can necessarily count on. And the fact of the matter is he doesn't put up great at-bats against right-handies, but you think that you have a chance of at least floating a single in there. So that's just the case. But, yeah, for Pujols to go back, obviously he went back before 2019. He went with the Angels. But this time it just felt a little different, probably because it looks like he's having fun again and he's with a team that's already brings a bigger crowd already than the Angels already do.
Yeah, and he did the same thing that he did in 2019 when he went back. He homered in his first at-bat back. So, yeah, it's definitely fun to watch. Happy for him. You know, his interview with Kirsten Watson after the game was awesome. You know, like you said, it looks like he's having fun. He seems happy. And, you know, I've always been a huge Albert Pujols fan. There was a time when he and I won't tell you who he was tied with for my favorite player in the mid-2000s. Let's just say his name rhymes with Schmayrod. Albert never let me down the way Schmayrod did. But, you know, there's been talk the last couple days about Pujols' future. Fabian Ardaya at The Athletic had an article, I think it was Fabian that wrote it, about what's going to happen with Pujols in the future. And Yadier Molina wants Pujols back with the Cardinals. You know, everybody's expecting the National League to have the DH next year. You and I have talked a little bit in the past about the idea of Pujols coming back to the Dodgers next year if they have the DH. For me, I feel like to make sense with the Dodgers, they'd have to have at least one more roster spot in the new CBA, maybe even two, maybe a 28-man roster to really have room for a guy like Pujols next year. Depending on what they do, but you know, the idea that Dave Roberts said that he thinks Pujols will play next year, and the big thing that you and I were talking about before we started recording, he's at what, 679 homers right now, so he's 21 away from 700. He has 17 this year. Figure if he can get another one or two this year, get him less than 20 away, he's got a legit shot if there's a team willing to give him a everyday or almost everyday DH spot next year, even if he's not great. You know, he's going to run into some homers once in a while, even against right-handers. But if he can get 450 to 500 plate appearances next year, 20 home runs seems likely, doesn't it?
I think it does. And I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic for him. If there's a team that's maybe not projected to be that great and they have a DH spot available, yeah, why not give it to Pujols? And we might put some more fans in the seats, and the chase for 700 would definitely put more fans in the seats once he gets closer to that number. And, you know, it's Albert Pujols. He's going to help out everyone, kind of how he's helped out with the Dodgers, just advice and everything else. And, you know, being able to ask somebody who's played 20 years in the big leagues, what tools of the, or what tricks of the trade they can learn from him. So it's a matter of that. It's a matter of, does he care about winning? Obviously, this year with the Dodgers, we've mentioned a lot that it looks like he's happy and he's going to have a chance at the postseason, which he did only one time with the Angels in those 10 years or 9 years. And then it's a matter of, I believe he thinks he can do it. I think earlier, before this season, I think his wife had posted something that alluded this to being his final season. But I think she just misspoke. So he's always said that he's not entirely sure, but it feels like he can come back next year. When it comes to the Dodgers, you know, obviously we didn't think that he would fit in when he first went, when it was first released anyways. And he's fit in perfectly. And it's just a matter of, do we think he fits in next year? And I don't know. I mean, if they have the DH, you know, theoretically, if they don't go out and get a big name, they could have a Pujols, Beatty DH situation, which would work out pretty well, or something of that nature. So it's just a matter of what happens with the new CBA, the DH roster spots, all that kind of stuff. The other thing that could affect it is, you know, salary floor could affect a lot of things. You know, like I said, a team that's not that great, that maybe doesn't have a high payroll, you know, Pujols, here's 20 mil, come hit 700 home runs with us and put butts in our seats.
Yeah, it could be. The Cardinals have already extended Yadier Molina for next year, and he has said that next year will be his last year. You know, there's been talk about would Molina and Wainwright and Pujols all come back for one last year to try to go for it one more time. Wainwright isn't under contract after this year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. Obviously, you know, for the story, I feel like the Cardinals would be the best spot for him to go to. But, you know, there's still part of me that just, it's hard to see him really being a major contributor to a winning team next year. And it's hard to see him having fun on a losing team, even if he is chasing 700, you know. So it's kind of a catch-22 there. I'm not sure that there is going to be a fit, you know. And you know, part of the fit thing with us this year was we didn't think it was going to be a fit on his side, that he would be happy with the role that he's taken. And so that was the prize. And he deserves a ton of credit for embracing this role he's been in. It's hard to see him finding that kind of role next year, unless it is just a nostalgia tour. Seems like it's got to be either back with the Dodgers or back with the Cardinals next year. And, you know, it seems like the Cardinals might be more likely out of those two.
Yeah.
Speaking of milestone chases, Max Scherzer is most likely going to get his 3,000th career strikeout this Saturday at home against the Padres. So if you are thinking about getting tickets to a game this weekend against the Padres, I would recommend Saturday. That'll be a pretty cool thing. I saw a highlight today just on MLB TV. They show highlights in between innings, you know, and I saw Max Scherzer in a Nationals uniform. And, like, it's not like the Nationals uniforms are ugly, but it's amazing to me how much better everyone looks in Dodger blue and white.
Yeah, I think the National uniforms are just kind of there. They have no flair or really anything special to them. So it kind of gets lost in the shuffle. So, yeah, and obviously the Dodgers are... I've yet to see someone that gets in Dodger blue and doesn't look good.
Yeah, even Jed Jerko looked better in Dodger blue than he did in anything else. And that dude doesn't look good in anything. So, and yeah, all right. So, Vince, you got anything else before we wrap this up?
I got nothing else. Let's just keep winning, Dodgers.
Yep, keep on winning, Dodgers. Thank you all for listening. We appreciate it. Keep on listening, listeners. Like Vince mentioned yesterday, we really, really appreciate you guys putting us on the top of the Locked On Baseball Network rankings every week, and we love you for it. If you're not listening every day, we would love if you add a day or two every month to your rotation. If you've got friends or family who you think might enjoy the show, if they love the Dodgers as much as you do, tell them about the show. Have them give us a shot, you know. We won't be offended if they don't like us, but, you know, they're never going to know unless they try. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree, you just have to listen. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Have a good one.
Betting on baseball doesn't have to be a guessing game if you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast, hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling. Get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast, brought to you by betonline.ag, wherever you get your podcasts.